presenting.
Rolling.
Rolling Martin's commentary is brought to you by General Motors, the all-new 2014 Chevrolet Impala. Inspired by an eye for the classic, fueled by a passion for the future, the 2014 Chevrolet Impala. Find new roads from our Washington, D.C. studios. Rolling Martin, good morning.
Good morning, folks. Hope all is well with you. I rarely do shout-outs, but I got to do one time. My brother Reginald turns 46 today, so
and
happy
tomorrow.
Birthday.
And tomorrow.
His son turned 6 yesterday,
and tomorrow.
I'll be 45 years old tomorrow, so we got the back-to-back-to-back thing going. So shout-out to
he
all of
Martin.
He just
shouted himself out is what
yes,
he
I did.
Just 45?
Yes, just 45. Just 45. But no, lots of knowledge and wisdom for 45, but it's okay, Jay. You'll catch up. All right. There's this strange story, Thomas Hill and Jay, out of Detroit. 19-year-old Renisha McBride, young lady, was in a car accident. This was Sunday before last. She wandered around the neighborhood for about an hour after the accident, was knocking on several doors, went to the door of a 54-year-old man. He has a 12-gauge shotgun, fires away, nearly blows her head off. His lawyer claims self-defense, but the Wayne County prosecutor, Kim Worthy, they are investigating to determine whether or not to file charges against him. The autopsy report was released yesterday, and joining us right now is Gerald Thurswell. He is the attorney for McBride's family. Gerald, good morning.
Good morning, Roland.
This is very interesting. Initially, the shooter said that he called 911 saying someone was trying to break into his home. But yesterday, the 911 calls released show that the call was made after he fired the shot.
That's correct. The interesting thing about the call was if he's claiming that he was in fear of his life, if he was in fear of his life and he had called 911, the tapes released yesterday indicate that the police were there within 2 minutes after he had made the 911 call. This is the city of Dearborn Heights, and their response time is very, very quick. So had he heard her knocking on the door seeking help, or if he thought that she was trying to break in, all he had to do was call 911, and as proof that they would have been there in 2 minutes is when he finally did call after he shot her to death, they were there in 2 minutes.
Initial report said that he fired the gun at close range. The autopsy says it was fired at a distance. What do you make of that?
No, I think the autopsy infers that it was fired at a distance. What the autopsy report says, it was not fired at close range. Close range is somewhere between 6 to 12 inches. So the gun could have been just 1 foot from her face when he pulled the trigger. Close range is different.
So it's close range with the gun butt right up, or the point right up to your forehead?
Well, when some people have committed suicide, and when you look at the autopsy report on a suicide and the person's holding the gun next to their head, if it's more than 6 to 12 inches from their head, the autopsy report many times will say it wasn't at close range. Mm-hmm. We would assume within a foot to be within close range. But medically speaking, when they use close range, they're talking something like 6 inches, maximum 12 inches.
Gerald, she was in a car accident. Was it a single car accident? And the reports, what happened? Was she wandering? Did an ambulance come on the scene to try to administer aid? How did she result in basically walking around for an hour in the neighborhood?
Well, she gets in the automobile accident. She gets out of the car. The neighbors come out and they talk to her. And the very first thing she says is, I want to go home, I want to go home. The neighbors appropriately call the police. This is in the city of Detroit, which is 4 blocks from where the shooter blew her head off. So they call 911. The response time in Detroit for a motor vehicle accident is not that fast. So she waits for a while, and then she starts to walk down the street.
Why not Dearborn police?
This because the auto accident was in the city of Detroit.
Was in Detroit. Okay.
It was in the
city
of Detroit.
So she walked into Dearborn.
That's correct, which is only 4 blocks away. Only 4 blocks away.
Now, what did she hit?
She hits a parked car. She hits a parked car, and that renders her car undrivable. So she walks away from the scene for a while. Then she comes back, and the Detroit police still aren't there. And she's bleeding from her face, and she's disoriented. She's confused, asking again. She wants to go home, and she's waiting. So finally she leaves, and she walks off. And then about an hour, maybe an hour and a half later, she's knocking on doors in the city of Dearborn Heights, and these people aren't answering the door. She finally gets to the shooter's house, and she's probably knocking real hard on the door, real hard, asking for help.
And what time is this?
This is about, we're estimating it's around 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock.
Where was she going, or where was she coming from?
She was coming from the accident scene when she got to the
house. Before she had the accident.
Oh, she was going to a girlfriend's house. She'd never made it to the girlfriend's house, of course.
Was she under the influence of anything?
Interestingly enough, there have been some reports that would indicate, and I haven't seen them, and this is just what I'm hearing, that her blood alcohol level was 0.08, which is at the lowest limit of intoxication in Michigan. Also, when I started practicing law many years ago, the lowest limit of intoxication was 0.10. So when I started practicing law, this would not have even have been considered intoxication.
Was she coming from the club?
No, we don't believe that at all. I don't believe that.
But she was on her way to her girlfriend's house at 3:30 in the morning.
No, she was on her way to her girlfriend's house sometime after 1 a.m. in the morning.
By the time she got to the shooters.
She had the accident at that time. Then, of course, after the accident, then wandered around an hour, made her way to the home around 3:30.
That's right.
There have been lots of community protests, obviously, and the prosecutors there are really taking their time investigating this fully. Kim Worthy is leading the effort. Many folks remember her as a prosecutor of Kwame Kilpatrick.
This is her mode of operation. Interestingly enough, we've had a lot of discussions with the family, and they don't want to rush to get this guy in jail. They're not in a rush to just bring charges. The only way justice will be made in this case is if there's a conviction. And Kim Worthy is not only using the local police departments; she's called in the Michigan State Police, and she's using her own investigators. She is getting everything in order, we believe, so that when she does file charges, there'll be a conviction.
Well, certainly prayers to Renisha McBride's family, Attorney Gerald Thurr as well. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll be following this story to its conclusion. Thank you so very much for joining us on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Have a good day, Roland.
What a story.
Sad story.
Very sad.
Wow.
19 years old.
19.
19.